A new tribute to the Voyager Golden Record, this week on Planetary Radio. Welcome, I'm Matt Kaplan of the Planetary Society, with more of the human adventure across our solar system and beyond. We'll talk with Stephen Canfield and Jacinta Faria, two of the many creators of A Message from Earth, an exciting online homage to Carl Sagan's grand greeting to other beings that is now entering interstellar space on Voyagers 1 and 2. NASA's next space station has a new name. Jason Davis will tell us about it, and Bruce will soon take us to the stars for a new space trivia contest. Planetary Society senior editor Emily Lakdawalla gets us started with another visit to our emissaries on the Red Planet. Emily, it is always a pleasure and very illuminating to see one of your Curiosity updates following the progress of the Mars Science Laboratory on Mars. And headlining this one, a brand new selfie.
Yes, it's the first one in a long time. And personally, I was very relieved because I'd always planned to end my first book with the last selfie that Curiosity took. And then they didn't take one for more than a year. So I was really happy that they got it. It's a beautiful one, too. The rover is sitting on top of the Vera Rubin Ridge. And because the rover has a little topography under it, you can actually see down into the valley that it drove across to get there. And you can see down into the other valley that it's going to be heading into in the future.
It is a beautiful shot. And of course, the link is in the blog post that is the basis of this conversation. And we'll put a link to it on the show page for this week's show as well at planetary.org. You also once again explain why a selfie taken on Mars by a robot is a heck of a lot more complex than just reaching out an arm with a smartphone.
Well, it's true, because this particular camera is an amazing camera, but it doesn't have a very wide field of view. So you wind up having to take somewhere between 60 and 100 pictures, and then you have to puzzle piece them all together. What I think is cool this week is to leave Curiosity for a second, that the Opportunity rover took its first selfie ever on Mars in the same week last week. It also used the camera on the end of its arm. It's not as good a camera. It can't focus at a distance, but it's still quite a striking image.
Back to Curiosity, which had another sort of return to action, or at least it's approaching. Has drilling resumed?
Well, it's interesting that we're talking now because drilling attempt has been commanded, but we're in the space where we don't know yet whether it was successful. But there was a photo late last week of the drill resting on rock. So they really are going for it, and we can hope that it was successful over the weekend.
This is another great example of making lemonade out of lemons with a robotic spacecraft, isn't it?
Absolutely. They had to try a whole new drilling technique because the drill feed mechanism failed. And so they're now basically drilling in a whole new way. They're having to use the arm to press the drill into the rock instead of the mechanism that used to force the feed forward into the rock. We hope it's going to work. We'll have to see. They're also not using the percussion mechanism on the drill because that was also causing some shorts. And so it's a whole new way. And if this is successful, I think those engineers deserve a party for what they've accomplished.
And how? I'll buy the pizza. We hopefully will have good news about this, maybe by the time a lot of people hear this show. Finally, I want to call attention to the fact that just below your own recap of what has happened in recent Sols with Curiosity, you have all these terrific blog entries. And by my count, there are more than 10 members of the mission team that contributed to the blog.
Yeah, that's a change that happened going into Curiosity's second extended mission when Ashwin Vasavada became project scientist, and the blogs moved from the United States Geological Survey to JPL. They decided to share out the joy of getting to write for the public to a larger group of the team, and a lot more volunteers are now participating in the writing of the posts that chronicle what's happening with Curiosity on Mars.
It's great to be hearing so many voices, including yours, and you can read Emily's newest Curiosity update. It's a February 21st entry in the blog at planetary.org. Thanks a lot, Emily.
Thank you, Matt.
She is, and hopefully will be for many, many years to come, our senior editor at the Planetary Society. That's Emily Lakdawalla. The light that generated the sounds you are hearing traveled 550 light years to reach our world. Gamma Cassiopeia is a variable binary star variable because its brightness varies, the tones represent that variability. This recording is one small element of a work I want to share with you. I never miss an opportunity to revisit the rich intersection of space science and human culture. No surprise, therefore, that I was intrigued when I learned about A Message from Earth. As you'll hear, I was captivated and fascinated from the first moments to the last chapter of this wonderful tribute. It is no less than an homage to the Voyager Golden Record, that assembly of greetings, wisdom, music, and images that Carl Sagan and his team, including Andruyan, cast toward interstellar space on Voyagers 1 and 2. That was 1977. 40 years later, this new work arrived from what may seem like an unlikely source. WeTransfer is an online service that enables users to send and receive files across our world. The company has done well, and it uses its success to do good. Stephen Canfield is its vice president of marketing. He recently joined me for an online conversation about A Message from Earth. We also welcome Jacinta Faria, executive producer for Stink Studios. She was at the center of a worldwide team that produced or contributed to the project. We'll meet them in a moment. First, though, here is the preface to A Message from Earth that speaks of the Golden Record. It was a gift sent from our world into deep space for whatever might find it. Dazzled by that audacity, we present new ideas from 40 cultural luminaries inspired by the original. Together, these amazing minds offer a collage of the contemporary human experience. We hope it inspires selfless acts of cultural diplomacy in the years ahead. Stephen and Jacinta, thank you very much for joining us on Planetary Radio, but especially I want to thank you and the many, many colleagues with whom you worked on A Message from Earth. Just this morning, I followed this lovely pathway that all of you have created for at least the fourth time. And I just want to recommend to everybody who listens to this show, check this out. Yeah, you won't be sorry. It is great fun.
Oh, thank you so much. That really means a lot. And we're happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
My pleasure entirely. Stephen, my understanding is that you are, I was going to say the brains behind this, but at least the instigator of this and certainly part of the collective brain.
Yeah, I've rarely been accused of being the brains of anything. But it's really been a team effort. And I think, you know, we're really humbled at the people that we were able to work with through this. And I mean, ultimately, I think humbled to be able to celebrate the Golden Record and just be a part of that story and its continuation. The process really started with a lot of conversations with people leading up to the 40th year anniversary. As a lot of people that were fascinated by the story of the Golden Record, we found that in multiple conversations we were having with musicians or photographers or artists, which is something we transfer do all the time. It's the people that use our platform. It kept coming up, and it kept coming up with the same sort of wonder, either in terms of someone who knew what it was and was fascinated by it or inspired by it or even created things based on it, or someone who had never heard about it. And then you sort of tell that 2-minute story about what it is, and then you hear from them a day later to find out that they fell into the hole we all did and kept researching it. So what we tried to do with this is ultimately just create a place where all of those people could coexist. What fascinated us with celebrations of the Golden Record that have happened in the past is they sort of fall into two categories generally, I think, and they're both brilliant. I think one is people that really look to reinforce the original and what it was or celebrate that. So I think about the Ozma Record guys and what they've done with the vinyl reissue. It's just a great recreation and something that, you know, feels tactile and at home. You know, and then there's other people that have tried to recurate it or reimagine it and said, you know, here's what it might look like if it was curated today. What we realized is maybe we weren't capable of doing either of those things as brilliantly as some others had. And so we just wanted to create a place where other people could reimagine it. And a lot of people could do that. And we're just really happy to see what everybody's come up with.
Let's go through it a little bit. And my only regret as we talk about the project itself is that we can't really demonstrate the degree of interactivity that it encompasses. I should have told you that I read your preface message as part of my introduction to our conversation. And it goes from there into greetings, which, of course, the Golden Record is full of greetings from people around the world, including children. You feature a greeting from a fascinating woman. Would you tell us about Wanda Diaz Merced?
Yeah, Wanda is, she's one of the most inspiring people I've spoken to. So she has a TED Talk that's amazing, that's all about the idea of hearing stars. So she is a blind astronomer that uses sonification to translate light waves into sound so that she can study them and understand the night sky better. What we thought about with Wanda was we just wanted to talk to her and see, understand better, you know, how she saw the world and how she saw space and what she thought of this project. She's based in South Africa now. And the first time that I spoke with her, she just sort of started speaking about the stars. And ultimately, what you're hearing when you go through the greeting section is what she told me that day. You know, I actually started to write it down because I thought it was so brilliant. And she had this idea that when you are listening to a star, it's as if you're listening to a greeting. It's this sort of conversation between the sky and yourself. And she feels a pressure to respond on behalf of humanity because she realizes that her reaction when she hears that star is representative of all of us. And she wants to sort of display the best of us.
I want to offer the potential of life, not only on Earth, but also out there. I want to communicate the human factor, the expressions, the feelings, the sentiment, the emotion on one's face when she or he listens to the stars.
What we did do for Wanda's section is create a star listening platform. So creating, you know, our interpretation of the stars, that Wanda's favorite stars, and the sounds that they would make, and offering the ability to sort of tweak the nuance of the sound and record your own versions and, you know, share them out as you will, which was a really fun and inspiring process, knowing, you know, sort of where the impetus of us even knowing about those stars came from in the first place.
This is one of those interactive sections that you're talking about, where you actually can draw on the screen and sort of create your own star music.
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, what this speaks to is that idea of sort of different people's interpretation of some of the original project. We tried to borrow from the original chapters, if you will, from the Voyager Golden Record. You know, so greetings was naturally a big part of it, as you mentioned, Matt. But I think what was fascinating is what always came back from these creatives that we were working with, be it Wanda or be it Giles Peterson in the music section or be it Survive in the sound section, is it was never sort of, I want to do it the same way. It was always, well, greetings to me is listening, right? And I think that was what was fascinating and what speaks to just the diversity of the people that we were able to get involved in the project.
They've also got the music of solar flares and a message from Earth. We'll talk more about the project with Stephen Canfield and Jacinta Faria when Planetary Radio continues.
Hi, this is Casey Dreyer, the Director of Space Policy here at the Planetary Society. And I wanted to let you know that right now Congress is debating the future of NASA's budget. The House has proposed to increase NASA's budget and also increase planetary science in 2018. The Senate, however, has proposed to cut both. You can make your voice heard right now. We've made it easy to learn more if you go to planetary.org/petition2017. Thank you.
You can share your passion for space exploration by giving someone a gift membership to the Planetary Society this holiday season or any time of year. Your friend or loved one would join us as we nurture new and exciting science, advocate for space, and educate the world. The gift of space starts at planetary.org/give space. That's planetary.org/give space. Because, come on, it's space.
Welcome back to Planetary Radio. I'm Matt Kaplan. A Message from Earth is the new online multimedia homage to the Voyager Golden Record that was launched to the stars back in the mid-1970s on the two Voyager spacecraft. Jacinta Faria and her team at Stink Studios pulled all the elements together from around our planet. Stephen Canfield of WeTransfer got the ball rolling with lots of support along the way from his company. Let's move on to the next chapter, which is devoted to music, which you found unique musicians from throughout our planet, and you include mixes of their work. And it's all held together by the work of another contributor. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so Giles Peterson, for anyone that's not familiar, is a scholar. So he's a guy that's been involved with, you know, countless number of artists' careers over the years. He's probably best known for his work on radio with BBC, where he has an amazing program there that's broken a ton of amazing artists from all over the world. He's just a scholar of music from all over the world. So I think what we realized is he was the right person to encapsulate this section and to invite a lot of different types of people that represented music for all sorts of places. And he had this amazing concept, which was, it started with thinking about the city where he lives, London, and the diversity within it. And he was speaking about how every continent, every city is represented within that city. You have hundreds of languages spoken, and so much of that actually makes the music of London, which is really just a collection of the music of a bunch of different places. So what he did to represent the section and to represent music was not necessarily a curation of music like the original, but it was conversations with different people from all over the world about what makes the music in their cities. And then he paired that with mixes from other cities. And I think what you find in all of them is that there's so much bleed over. You know, that's what music is today. It's this sort of singular thing, but it's representative of every different place. And you can't necessarily go to any city anywhere and not hear the influence of another city across the world, just based on the way that communication and music is sent and the way ideas go back and forth. What I found most fascinating about it, and again, most humbling, was just, you know, seeing music that is representing a country like Australia and how there were so many ties with, you know, countries in Africa or cities in Africa, and the same with the U.S. in New Orleans, as an example.
Jacinta, I never like to make people pick favorites among their children, but if you can pick out one particular artist from the music section that we might be able to hear a few seconds of, I mean, who would you suggest?
I actually did love the Australia section the most. I think that was the most played playlist as well for us in the studio. They are, all of the individual mixes themselves that accompany the sections are, they're brilliant, and they are very, they're very different, and you don't necessarily feel that one is drastically different than the other. They're just all really good. And for like a studio full of music lovers, I often heard folks who hadn't worked on the project asking what we were listening to because they were so into how perfect the mixes were.
I agree. While each one of them is distinctive and unique, you definitely feel that thread running running amongst them all.
And it's funny because I don't think there's that many places where you can specifically hear music and mixes from different people in different cities all alongside one another. I think it happens every day when we're in, you know, Spotify or whatever it is, and you go through a playlist. And the reality is what you're listening to is music from all over the world. But I think sometimes we take it for granted because it all feels at home in the same place, even though it's incredibly diverse.
Next chapter, what you do for music in A Message from Earth, you pretty well duplicate with global images.
This is an interesting section too. So what we try to do here is similarly take people from five different cities to tell a story about the place that they called home. And in this case, we gave them probably the most direct brief we gave anybody within the whole project. Our feeling was that the beauty of the original project was this representation of hope, determination, and goodwill as it encapsulates humankind, right? So we basically spoke to people and said, you know, brilliant photographers, you know exactly what you're doing. You know what you want to shoot, but we'd love it if you'd go out and shoot images of hope, determination, and goodwill where you call home.
Let's move on to the next section, which you call brainwaves. Some of the most fascinating thinkers on this world, on this planet. A lot of your contributors are among my favorite planetary radio guests. Where Seth Shostak of the SETI Institute was just on the show a couple of weeks ago. But you gave them a format that they needed to fit into. There were some directions.
And this was, you know, ultimately a representation of brainwaves on the original disc, which is part of the sound section. But we basically just said, we'd love it if you'd write 500 words about whenever this thing is received. And this one was incredible just in terms of the diversity of what came back. One of my favorites is Musa Kwanga's. He actually writes it as if it were another civilization receiving this, as if it were someone trying to get a record deal. So it's fascinating to see someone like him writing that, and then, you know, someone like Seth and what he wrote, which come from such different points of views, but I think they speak to, you know, again, just sort of this sense of not knowing where this thing will go. You know, I love the idea that I think multiple people write about the fact that you know, whoever might eventually find this thing will just discard it with the other hundreds that are just like it that they received that week. But it was great to see what people came up with.
I think something that, you know, Stephen said earlier is so true about this project. You know, we were really able to work with some of the most epic artists, scientists, thinkers, musicians in a really seamless way. And so we feel really lucky. I mean, just that last section in Giving, there's also a film embedded into that section that is, you know, a little bit of an homage to The Pale Blue Dot, set to really beautiful soundscape by one of Trix Point Never, who's an amazing electronic artist. Being able to just do that one piece of this entire site was beyond epic for us. And the whole site was just experiences like that. Beautiful things came out of the 70s. You know, Stephen and I were born. And
it is a lovely close to a lovely work of art that anyone can experience on the net.
Matt, we just can't thank you enough. I love the show personally. And again, I mean, humbled to be able to be involved in this project and to work with the people we did, but also just humbled to talk about it a little bit with you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Stephen. And thank you, Jacinta. It has been a pleasure. I'm sure I will follow that pathway more. And again, I recommend to everybody in the audience to take a look. And they can find it at, do I have this right? amessagefrom.earth.
That's right.
That's correct.
We've been talking with Stephen Canfield. He's the marketing VP at WeTransfer, but has a degree in music business and management from Berklee College of Music. And he got all of this started, A Message from Earth, and found Jacinta Faria, executive producer at Stink Studios, which was kind of the center of this project that involved so many artists and great minds all over our Pale Blue Dot.
And it was a team effort. I don't know if it was just started by me. I think there are a lot of brilliant people behind it. But thank you, Matt.
It is time for What's Up on Planetary Radio. Bruce Betts is the Director of Science and Technology for the Planetary Society, and he is ready once again to bring us the night sky, to bring us space trivia, a random space fact, and so much more. Welcome.
Thank you, Matt. Welcome to you.
What's going on up there?
We got the planet party. You can prove to yourself that the solar system planets orbit roughly in the same plane because you can look for three planets that are roughly in one line because of that. If you're looking in the pre-dawn, you can find Jupiter high in the south looking super bright, and then go to its lower left and you'll find Mars, and to the lower left of that, you will find Saturn. Ah, we live in a planet plane. Roughly. And then in the evening sky, I keep mentioning it, it's tricky. Still, Venus coming up in low in the west shortly after sunset. It's going to get super easy to see and super spectacular in the super near future. Super, super.
Well, that's super.
We move on to this week in space history. It was 2004 that the European Space Agency launched the Rosetta mission, which after a 10-year flight time encountered a comet and flew along with it and got all sorts of great data and images.
That was a long wait, but well worth it, as it turns out.
Turns out, well worth the wait.
Space Fest. Wow, that kind of snuck up on us and Stranger Things.
And now a word from the upside down. So speaking of upside down, you think of polar caps on Mars. The North Polar Cap is bigger in aerial extent but less deep, and the Southern Cap is smaller in aerial extent and deeper, thicker. Turns out they have about the same volume. It works out that way. They both have about 1.6 million cubic kilometers of water ice, and they're 2 to 3 kilometers thick, hundreds of kilometers wide. A bonus random space fact, the total volume of ice in each polar cap is about 6% of the water ice volume of Earth's Antarctic ice sheet.
That number is rising fast, sadly.
On Mars?
Yes, on Mars. The percentage of the Antarctic is sadly rising very quickly.
It's rising significantly. I wouldn't say it's changing drastically.
It's a topic for a different podcast.
Okay. All right. We move on to the trivia contest. And I asked you, what was the last wheeled vehicle launch of a successful wheeled vehicle into space, where success here is defined as driving on another world?
So the Tesla did not count, since it is not driving on another world.
Exactly.
At least not yet. Does the term Jade Rabbit mean anything to you?
Yes, it does.
Well, we got from Christopher Beck, the answer is the Chinese U-2 rover launched on the 1st of December, 2013. It is also known as Jade Rabbit. Yeah, and Christopher was chosen by random.org among all those who got the answer right this time. We got a few people who were a little bit off base, but most of you managed to figure this out. Congratulations go to Christopher, who's going to be getting a Planetary Society t-shirt from Chop Shop. That's where the Planetary Society store is, at chopshopstore.com, and a 200-point itelescope.net account. But we're going to have something else very special for the winner of the new contest. From our poet laureate, Dave Fairchild in Shawnee, Kansas. China sent a rover to the moon 5 years ago. It traveled for a day or two, but then began to slow. Like many cars, the warranty first blinked and then fell through. I had a car like that one time. We're sorry for you, too.
A new contest. We know that Sirius is the brightest star in the nighttime sky. What is the second brightest star in the nighttime sky, as seen from either hemisphere? But nighttime sky, so no answering the sun. Go to planetary.org/radio contest.
You've got until Wednesday, March 7 at 8 a.m. Pacific time to get us the answer. Now, are you ready? We have a spectacular prize. In my conversation, just finished with Stephen Canfield and Jacinta Faria about the message from Earth, you heard Stephen talking about the 3LP set from Ozma Records, where they basically bring you all the material on the Voyager Golden Record. That is going to go to the winner of the contest that we have just begun with this new question from Bruce, along with a 200-point itelescope.net account. You want to get your entry in for this latest contest. You might win that 3LP set. Pretty cool. I want one.
Cool.
It is. Our appreciation, our gratitude goes to WeTransfer, to Stephen Canfield, and to Ozma Records. We are done.
All right, everybody, go out there, look up the night sky, and think about what a cloud would taste like. Thank you, and good night.
Why, they taste like marmalade, of course. And extra points for anybody who gets the reference. He's Bruce Betts. He's the Director of Science and Technology for the Planetary Society, who joins us every week for What's Up. Planetary Radio is produced by the Planetary Society in Pasadena, California, and is made possible by its highly cultured members. Mary Liz Bender is our associate producer. Josh Doyle composed our theme, which was arranged and performed by Peter Schlosser. I'm Matt Kaplan. Clear skies.